evaporator, though it comes as no surprise. These clouds we're seeing, they're explosions in the sky. It seems it's written, but we can't read between the lines. Hush, it's okay. Dry your eyes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nationals Review, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, but I'm not here alone. I bring the mouth of the South of the Mason-Dixon line, the one, the only, Charlie.
South of Montgomery County.
South of Montgomery County.
Southern Montgomery County, not south of Montgomery County.
Are we considered, I don't know if I'm considered, I'm definitely Northern Montgomery County now, I think.
I'm Southern. I mean, I was in Bethesda, now I'm in whatever they call it, North Bethesda, the Pike District.
Right, the Pike.
Oh, big news today, Colm.
What?
For locals.
What was
the judge in the Lord and Taylor trying to keep White Flint from being demolished case said that's unreasonable and they can continue with their lawsuit, but they can't stop White Flint from being demolished.
So it's gonna. I want to go to it when they actually do.
I don't think they actually have like the full plan done yet, but they might have been waiting until that was. I don't know, but it's good for me because I live very close to that, and I would like that crappy old mall, which is now completely empty, to be replaced with a fake town center because I like the fake town centers.
As soon as, California, no, is that what it's called? Cheesecake Factory said, we're out, we're going to Montgomery Mall. It was over for White Flint.
That and the fact that there was no stores inside other than, like, what was there? Like, Lord and Taylor's there, and there was, like, a Bloomingdale's. And there was nothing inside the actual mall that anybody went to. I did go there to the Bout, what is it? Bertucci's or something like that.
What about the Chinese place?
Oh, P.F. Chang's just closed.
Where are they going? Montgomery Mall?
I don't know. Maybe they're just packing up shop and leaving Maryland.
Right.
So, you ready for another 4 to 8 inches of snow?
I am. Winter Storm Thor is on his way.
That is amazing. They actually named it Winter Storm Thor?
Well, that's what I'm seeing here on the Weather Channel right now.
Is that because it's going to bring the hammer down on us?
I guess. I just hope this is the last one. And I contemplate, this winter's been really weird for me. I contemplated, why am I doing to this to myself 6 months out of the year? And I'm like, why?
It's not really 6 months, though. It's really bad, like four.
Four, yeah. Four, definitely.
Well, I do have a winter-ish beer today.
Do you? I have a summer-ish beer, so there you go.
What are you drinking, like summer shandy right now?
No, a Corona Extra.
Oh, very summer.
Exactly, with a lime.
Do you have are you barefoot with your feet up?
Yeah,
imagining yourself on a beach?
Well, how did you know? That's exactly where I am. Now I'm watching people just like wear. I love the weathermen now that wear like the jackets during their forecast while they're inside in front of a green screen. That's my favorite.
We've turned the heat down in here to save money.
Right. So everyone knows it's cold.
Right. My favorite part of snowstorms is watching local news. Like, I love it when they send, like, that. Who's the guy, like, is it Meese or something like that? The guy on NBC 4 who just goes out and stands on, like, 355. Oh.
With his Pat Collins snow stick.
Yes, Pat Collins, like, just standing out in the middle of, 355 and East-West Highway, just talking to people walking by. For some reason, I don't watch the local news very often, but I love it when it snows.
I love it when it snows, too. People just act ridiculous. Like, they interview the people who have skis on, which I never understand those people.
Cross-country skiing and DC.
Terrible sport.
The worst idea ever.
All right, so let's go.
Oh, wait.
Your beer. What is my
beer? Yeah. So I have a porter.
Oh, that is a wintry beer.
I have a Scuttlebutt Porter.
Wow.
And
Who's it made by? Scuttlebutt is the brand?
It's made by Scuttlebutt Brewing Company.
Oh, never heard of it.
Everett, Washington. So they're far away from you. It is delicious. I like, I've been getting into porters this winter.
Right.
And I am a big fan.
You know, when I took a trip out to Seattle about, God, now it's 3 years ago, those guys introduced me to all the Washington State and Oregon, or, yeah, Oregon.
Yeah, they got a lot.
Their microbrews there, like, destroy anywhere I've ever been. It's unbelievable the stuff they had there.
I think Oregon and, like...
And the percentage of alcohol in each one was way higher than I had seen out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Oregon's one of, like, the two or three states that's known as, like, the start or the hub of, you know, basically, like, the microbrewing industry.
Yes.
So they must have a million good things out there.
Oh, it was amazing.
And some bad stuff, too, I'm sure.
Well, how is yours? Is it thick? And
I like it. It's dark. No, it's not like super thick or anything. It's just a dark beer. It's got a little bit of like a, I don't know, chocolatey coffee taste to it.
Oh, I like that.
Getting me ready for 4 to 8 inches of snow.
4 to 8 inches of snow. Anyway, let's talk about the Nats, who are in much warmer weather. I believe it's 81 today. It hit in lovely, was it Space Coast Stadium?
Yeah, Vieira for a couple more years, and then they're moving down to West Palm.
Which will be better. Is it It'll a brand be amazing. New facility and all that
so
stuff?
So here's what I've heard.
Right.
Vieira is kind of a smaller town. The Space Coast area is just like, it's a little less developed and it's far. Actually, a lot of defense contractors have work in Space Coast area.
Right.
And so, like, people, you know, I work for a defense contractor, or people in my company live out there, and a lot of them live 20 minutes outside of Orlando, which puts them 40 minutes outside of work. So that tells you what there is to do in Vieira.
Wow. Yeah.
That being said, I've never been, but I've heard the stadium's nice. You know, the beat writers always make jokes about, like, we're going to the bar tonight, aka Applebee's, because there's like nothing
right,
there.
Right, right.
And so, in terms of us as fans who may go down for 1 week or 2 days every 3 or 4 years to go see a spring training, or maybe even less than that, mm-hmm. it's better that they'll be in West Palm, because West Palm, like, you can fly to West Palm pretty cheap from, like, BWI, and I'm guessing from Dulles and National, too. And instead of being 2 hours from the West Palm airport or flying into a smaller airport that's more expensive, you're going to be 20 minutes from the West Palm airport.
Right. Gotcha.
And I'll be flying to West Palm next week.
Nice.
And I'm visiting some family. Mm-hmm. And we are going about 20 to 30 minutes north of West Palm to where they live, in the sort of area near Jupiter, Florida.
Right.
And 20 to 30 minutes north of that is Port St. Lucie, where the Mets play. Oh. And the Nats.
Good name.
Yes. And the Nats will be playing at Port St. Lucie, visiting the Mets on Thursday. So I think we mentioned it on the podcast, but I will be going to see them play a week from the day we get 4 to 8 inches of snow here. I will be in Port St. Lucie watching a baseball game.
So we can expect to follow your Twitter, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I'll be tweeting out everything. I'll have, you know, the kids and the family and all that. So it should be intriguing to see how much I can actually tweet out. But try and get maybe we'll bring some baseballs for the kids to get some guys to sign stuff. I'm not, like, an autograph person.
Right,
neither am I. I don't care. Like,
I don't care about your
look. Right. From what I understand, you have some pretty good access to players in spring training, and right. I'm certainly going to be a little starstruck if I walk up and, I mean, it doesn't even have to be Bryce Harper. It could be a guy who's not making the team. It's like a professional baseball player. I'm not an actual reporter. Like, it's exciting for me to meet these guys, but at the same time, like, I don't need him to sign a piece of paper.
Right.
So I can hold it and be like, I have an autograph now. But, you know, for my kids, if I bring a couple baseballs and or even
would
just
you
one,
do a selfie? Because I would do a selfie.
I would do a selfie. If there was a guy that had time, I would be like, take a picture with me.
Right.
If I didn't feel like I was annoying him or anything. Right.
And if I see them doing a lot of them, I'll just go do
right.
it.
Right. Just hop right
They'll
in.
They'll never notice me is what I think.
Right, exactly. All right. So let's start. Let's start getting into the actual Nat stuff, not the snow.
So where do you want to begin, though?
Well, why don't we talk about a little discussion I had on Twitter? So
yes, okay.
I am building up probably what takes me, out of anything I post, the most work, other than like a one-off thing that I don't. But in terms of stuff that I repeat, mm-hmm. I do a preview of the NL East position by position. It was an idea I stole from a guy named Steve Goldman, who used to write for a website called the Pinstripe Bible. When I lived in New York, it was like the first real, like, regular sort of blog that had, like, actual sabermetric attention paid to it that I ever read. And so he did this, and I thought it was a great idea. He basically went each position, lined everybody up, and said, you know, if you're the best first baseman, that team gets 5 points. The second best gets 4. The third best gets 3. Gotcha. 2-1. And so it's like a two-parter. I'll do the position players first, and then I'll do, you know, just the NL East. I'll do the position players and then the pitchers. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, the position players are pretty easy to do in terms of who goes where. Most roles are pretty well defined. And quite frankly, if a role is not well defined, that guy's probably going to be ranked low. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at, like, I don't know, the Phillies, whatever, shortstopper or left fielder or whatever, if you're like, I'm not sure if it's going to be this guy or this guy, that probably means neither of them are going to be ranked that high and they're not going to get points. But
right,
pitching, it's hard because, like, it's hard to know who this, what the actual rotation is, and it matters because if I put Steven Strasburg up against Cliff Lee, it's going to be different than if I put Steven Strasburg up against their Philly's third pitcher, because there's a massive drop off between Hamels, Lee, and then the bottom three.
Okay.
And so if you think Zimmerman's the number three pitcher, he's got a big advantage over the Phillies. If he's this number two pitcher, he doesn't, because the Phillies' number two pitcher is Cliff Lee. So
gotcha.
It matters. So I was trying to determine the order of the Nats pitching staff.
Right.
And not necessarily who's going to start game 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but like what if you had to put them in order.
Yes.
And it ostensibly is their starting from a playoff game kind of perspective. Who's 1 through 5? Who would you do? Who would you be? Who would you have as the number one starter for the Nats?
Matt Scherzer.
You have Scherzer. Yes. I have Strasburg.
Wow.
And so the reason I put Strasburg in is something to do with the fact that he's been here, right? And so
you really think that matters that much?
I think it does. I mean, I think they are relative.
Matt Scherzer has a ring on his finger.
Well, I mean, he also has a Cy Young Award.
Yeah. There's but, no way. And he's a much better pitcher, in my opinion.
So I will say this.
Wouldn't you rather your Strasburg against, the, like you were just saying, against the number two?
Well, I try not to do that. I try not to line it up so the Nats look better.
Right. All right. We disagree on that one.
Right. But so the way I look at it is Scherzer has been slightly better, but not incredibly better than Strasburg.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still not convinced that I have it right now slated that it goes Strasburg, then Scherzer. But I could change that.
I think you have to wait and see how spring also lays out. I mean, Scherzer looked amazing in the two innings he pitched, but what does that show us? Nothing.
Well, so here's the other thing. I guarantee you there's a much better chance. I shouldn't say guarantee you. I think there's a much better chance that Strasburg starts game one.
Really?
Than Scherzer because of seniority and stuff like that. And so does that weigh in? You know, I don't know.
Huh. It's hard. They're both righties too, right?
I think Scherzer is probably right now you would have to say Scherzer is the best pitcher on the team. And you could even make an argument that Zimmerman is the second best.
Yeah, you could.
But I'm not comfortable putting Zimmerman above Scherzer or Strasburg because of their sort of ceilings and abilities and stuff like that.
Right.
So I don't know. You could make the argument either way, and I'm just not. So I think we both agree that it's Zimmerman's number three behind Strasburg.
Yes, 1, 2, 3 I can go with.
So there's an argument about who's 1 and 2, which order.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that because maybe, you know, I haven't finished laying it out and I'm not sure. Maybe I'll put that one out on Twitter as well. And you guys can write us or tweet at me and let me know what you think. So the other one is who's 4 and who's 5?
Exactly.
Assuming Roark, which we're assuming Roark is a bullpen guy. Mm-hmm. You have Gio and Fister. What order do you put them in?
Gio, then Fister.
So you have Gio 4.
Yeah. Because I don't want to have right, left, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we can't do that. That's ridiculous.
So my thought is that Gio is the number four starter for a number of reasons.
Right.
Again, like the actual It's hard for me to say the order doesn't matter because it does, because we're putting them in an order. But I try not to think about, well, right, 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 left, right. I'm thinking about just like who's the best to who's the worst. I'm trying to
do that. Right, I know. That's so hard.
It's hard to do. But the other
Other thing you think about. What if we play a three-game series? You have 1, 2, 3, and then this new series, you have Geo starting that new series. I'd rather that.
Well, I guess the question is if you had a four-game series, if you're in the NLCS, who's the starting pitcher that you don't start?
That's so hard.
Or is it Geo, right? I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. But so my take was Geo Fisser was incredible last year.
Incredible, yes.
But some of that was luck dependent. Some of that is, you know, his FIP was his fielding independent pitching, that ERA measurement that's just sort of like strikeouts and walks and all that stuff. His FIP was not great, which meant that there's some luck involved. Although Fisser is not a strikeout pitcher and he still does very well. So he's like what Jordan Zimmermann used to be, where his advanced statistics are worse than his results.
Right.
Every year. And so you start to go, well, maybe those advanced statistics just don't work for some guys that pitch a certain way. And Fister's one of those guys. So I don't want to put too much stock in that. But taking out 2014, if you look at the 4 years prior to 2014, Geo was a better pitcher. And they both pitched.
Really?
They both started for 4 years. Geo had like a, you know, a slightly an ERA plus around 123, and Fister's was closer to like 115 or 116. Their records were vastly different if you believe in wins losses being anything of value. I don't know if you can with Fister being on Seattle. But Fister was like 41-45 and Geo was like 62-36 or something like that over the 4 years prior to 2014. Now 2014 Geo was not great. He had a 105 ERA plus. Like he was just above average ERA wise. Mm-hmm. Some of that was because he had a bad first month and then he got better and he was better. But I don't know. I'm still not sold. So I put it out on Twitter, and the overwhelming response, Fister number four.
Wow.
Overwhelming. Like one person told me they wanted Geo, and it was the same reason you, because he's a lefty.
Yeah, he's a lefty. That's so important. If we can't just keep throwing righties at them, you have to switch it up.
Well, the one thing you have to keep in mind is in a playoff series, if there are an abundance of lefties against the team they face, they will probably have Geo as the fifth starter. Or as the fourth starter.
Fourth starter, yeah. That would make sense to me. And that's how Matt Williams thinks, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if Gio was – he'd put Gio as the second pitcher if he could, if we didn't have what we had.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still not sure which way I'm going to put him. I think in the end, the fact is, this is more about – this is like almost a semantic argument. I haven't looked at who else is in the league, but everybody else's pitching staff drops off dramatically.
So much.
And so both
after the third pitcher, it's a nightmare you see.
Both Fister and Geo, no matter where they are, will probably be the number one 5-point getter.
Exactly.
In the end, it doesn't matter. It was like, this is going to be saved for internet posterity. I kind of want to put them in an order that they belong in.
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, also today there was a great video online. It was actually only two pitches, but it was number one versus number one.
Right, which yes.
Steven Strasburg, here's the story as I read it, is that Steven wanted to throw batting practice, and the guys got all excited about it, and then Bryce jumped in first, and that's why it got the hype that it got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Like a dinger one time, and he gets one thrown by him another time.
Yeah, I heard he. Video. It was like 10 pitches or something, and he only swung at 2 or 3.
Right.
And I think he hit like a line drive, a pretty hard line drive out to the outfield.
Right.
And the other one was nothing. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that they face off.
It's great social media, if anything.
Exactly. I think it is. It's a good marketing thing. There's not much more to it than that.
And did you happen to catch on? I think it was Monday. I could probably be totally wrong. ESPN SportsCenter was like live, or maybe it was MLB Baseball was live from Nats spring training all day. Did you catch any of this?
No.
It was great. I mean, it was like interviews with all the players. That's where that Bryce Harper comment came out of, the one where it's like he has to play hard this year, and this is his year. And he wants a ring, I believe was the quote. Or he deserves
it. Yeah, the rings and all that stuff. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I think
a young 21-year-old would say.
There's – well, first of all, this is like his fourth year in the league. He's not a rookie anymore.
Right, but he's 21.
And he's 21. And this is something that is like – because there is nothing to talk about, this is what they talk about.
Right, exactly.
But I don't think it matters. So, Bryce Harper wants to win the World Series this year? What an idiot.
So here's here's my question for you of the day regarding the Nats. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, this is based off of fantasy, okay? Fantasy-wise. It has Bryce Harper as the number 37th best player in fantasy. There are four other Nats ranked higher than him. Can you name the four?
So, I assume there'll be, like, positional adjustment, like...
This includes positional and pitching.
So, I would assume, like, because Desmond is a shortstop...
He is one.
He's got to be one because he's one of the top shortstops in the
Correct.
League. Rendon.
Correct.
Because he is an infielder. This is like a standard 5x5 league.
Yeah, like your most standard league you could have.
Scherzer.
Correct. And
is that
one
it?
More. One more.
Strasburg?
Correct.
Wow.
Amazing. Great job. I thought you were getting fooled by Rendon, but you didn't get fooled by it.
Rendon's amazing. He's so good.
So good. He's going to go in a lot of drafts early.
So in an ideal situation, Harper plays like a – I mean, he definitely has the talent to play like a top 10 player.
Yeah, I think he has the talent to play. Yeah, definitely a top – maybe top 8 player. And he's at 37 right now.
Let's say he hits like 285 this year but hits 25 home runs.
Right.
And 5x5.
How many RBIs?
Has 100 RBIs or whatever. Oh. You know, the Nats are going to score a ton of runs.
Right.
So let's say he has, give or take, 100 RBIs and hits 25 home runs and hits 285. I mean, is that a top 10 player or is that more like top 20? Not that many guys hit 25 home runs, right?
Right.
Not anymore. And Rendon hit 20 last year. I don't think he's quite a 20 home run hitter every year.
No.
So let's say Rendon hits like 300 and hits 15 home runs. Is that more I don't know enough about fantasy. Is that more valuable than Harper doing what I said? I mean, the thing about Harper is if he's healthy all year, I think he's easily a top 20 fantasy player. He's that good. People don't realize it. He's that good.
Right.
But he's got to be healthy, and that's what we don't know about.
All right, well, I only have one more piece of Nats news, and that's it.
Oh, what's that?
That we have the best facial hair in all of spring training on our team.
I'm a big fan of Danny Espinosa in general, but to come up showing looking like Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap is amazing.
Amazing job! It tore up social media. I think it was like the hottest thing in baseball that day about the picture of his. What is it? Fu Manchu would be the correct style.
I don't know. I saw people calling it a Fu Manchu, and then other people on Twitter screaming that is not a Fu Manchu.
Right.
Although I will say that in college. Colm and I had a fraternity brother that we called Fu, who had that kind of mustache. And his nickname was Fu. He was a firefighter. And I think he got that nickname at the firehouse because of that mustache. So if it's not technically a Fu Manchu, everybody thinks it's a Fu Manchu. So just get over it.
Right. All right. So should we talk about the rest of the league?
Well, one thing I did want to talk about before we move to that is we were talking about Scherzer.
Yes.
And I wrote an article last week about – So Scherzer is essentially getting paid $15 million a year for the next 14 years.
Amazing. Get his jersey is what I said.
What I basically did was I was kind of interested in what that's going to mean, what that $15 million is going to mean in the late 2020s when they're paying him and he's not on the team. And so what I did was I took the average payroll of the league.
Okay.
You know, all the teams in the league over back to 1998, because that's where I could get the data from, and just graphed it out and looked at the growth rate. And essentially, it's grown by about 5.5% a year, give or take.
Okay.
3 year growth rate was 6.2%. 5 years was 4.6%. 10 years was 5.2%.
Wow.
It averages out to around 5.5%.
Right.
So what I did was then I just did a straight line from – we don't have the numbers for 2015 because not everybody's settled out. We won't actually have the numbers till the end of the year, I guess, because
right.
The way it works. But I basically just grew it on a straight line from 2014 up to 2015 out through 2028 at a 5.5% growth rate each year.
Right.
And what I did was I said, well, the Nats are not the average team. They have – the last few years they have spent more than the average. 2 or 3 years ago they spent like 10% more. The year before, the year after that.
Oh, the like, Aubrey Huff like years? Is that what you're talking about? When we were paying for like
– No, no, no.
Kearns.
Yeah, no, no, no. Before 2 years ago, they were well under actually.
Really?
Even with, because they've had so many derelicts that like that didn't get owed any money. So what happened was about 2 years ago, they jumped from being well below average to above average, like 10% above average. And then last year, they were like 17% above average. And this year, they're going to be like 30% above average.
Right.
But I said, let's be conservative and say the Nats have a payroll of 25% above whatever the average is. So I'm increasing the average by 5.5%.
Okay.
And then every year I mapped out what the Nats would be if they were a team that is 25% higher than that. And I said, what percentage of that team's payroll is $15 million? So this year, $15 million is about 10% of that payroll. It's about $150 million. So 15% of that is $15 million is 10% of that. So Scherzer is, give or take, making 10% of the Nats' payroll this year.
Wow.
But if the trend goes up, as it has, 5.5% growth a year, and nothing makes it way out of whack, by the end of the contract, the last few years, it's going to be about 5%.
So it's great.
So, yeah, what I'm saying is, forget about what the thing, like inflation. There hasn't been a ton of inflation over the last 15 years.
Right.
Forget about stuff like that. Forget about the weird things about his contract and the time value of money and all that. Just the fact that the average payroll in Major League Baseball has gone up about 5% a year means that by the end of his contract, it will be a significant – it will be about half as much of the hit as it is now.
Good.
Now, it's still a lot, it's still a guy that's not playing for you that you're paying a lot of money, but it's not maybe as bad as people think.
Right.
And if there is inflation or anything like that, it could be significantly lower. So I just wanted to point that out. I thought it was kind of like – I thought it was pretty eye-opening to realize that, like, forget about Scherzer, like how much the payroll is going up. Yeah. Because if you do this chart just at the 5.5% rate a year, the average payroll right now is like $125-130 million.
Wow.
By 2028, it's going to be like $220 million. Wow. The average payroll.
Right, the average would go up. Yeah. Right.
So that means Yankees and the Red Sox will be paying, you know, like $400 million.
Right.
So.
Good Lord. And that's it.
Good Lord.
So everyone who wants to check out those, because you have the graphs, I believe, in the article.
Yeah, the article's called 15 Million Ain't What It Used to Be.
There you go.
And it's on thenatsreview.com.
I'll try to put that in the show notes for us.
Excellent.
All right. All right, around the league?
Let's talk about the rest of the league because there's not that much more to talk about the Nats. And we'll be back in like 2 weeks or so, and I can talk about my spring training.
Correct.
Visit, and there might be actually Nats news.
We hope so. All right. I have A-Rod play today. He went 1-for-2 with a walk.
So let's talk a little bit about the AL East.
Yeah, let's talk about that AL East.
First of all, what do you think of A-Rod? Are you super excited to watch him play?
Yeah, of course. Like, I want him, like, go ahead, play. I'd love him on the Nats. Are you kidding me? Come to the Nats. Play first base.
I don't know how good he's actually going to be. But I think the Yankees in general are kind of fascinating because they're, like, the biggest boom or bust maybe in all of baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they got Nathan Eovaldi from the Marlins, who's like a good young pitcher, but he hasn't put it all together yet. And they have CC and Pineda, who are both like unhealthy or bad last year. Like, what if all three of those guys, there's a decent chance that all three of those guys are good this year. And then suddenly they're like, they have a really good four-man rotation.
Right. And then they have that young guy, Dellin Benintendi.
Betances is the
huge guy.
Bullpen ace last year.
Right. Right.
Somebody said that he had the best, by like, you know, WAR or value of some sort, whatever, he had the best relief season since Mariano Rivera was the setup man for John Wetland in like 1995.
Wow.
Because or
he's great.
Yeah, because you remember like pitchers or closers don't throw enough innings to have like as valuable of a season as like a reliever that throws 110 innings or something like that. Because value is it's also a counting stat, I guess. Who do you think is going to win the AL East?
I would my money would be on the Red Sox just because of who they brought in.
Yeah. You think Toronto's going to be any good?
Yes, I like Toronto. They don't really have a pitching and bullpen situation figured out though.
Yeah, so, I mean maybe like Russell Martin is really like a wizard with pitching staffs and then they can pitch again. I don't know, I get this like mid 2000s vibe with Toronto that they're going to be really good but they're still going to finish like third.
Right.
I think you know what's going to be interesting. So I think Tampa Bay has a decent team, but I think they're just going to be like the hit of losing Madden is going to be tough on them, and they're not going to be that good.
Right. That's a huge hit.
I think it's going to be between Baltimore and Boston.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
So I've said before that I believe what Baltimore did is kind of like mad scientist genius in that they went out. Well, no, they went out and they got like five like number 3/4 starters. And they were like, we don't have any really good starters, but like, we got five guys that would start on most teams.
Right, and we'll coach them up.
And that'll be enough to get us into the playoffs.
Right.
And then when they get to the playoffs, they lose because they don't have an ace. But that's kind of what Boston did, only they have incredible bats and maybe three or four 3/4 starters instead of five. Like the Orioles have a team full. They have five legitimate
starting
three or four starters. Boston has like three, maybe four legitimate starters. So like they're going to out hit the O's and the O's are going to out pitch them not by much. But like, I don't know. Do you think it's basically like the Boston is doing what Baltimore did, but they're doing it even more extreme. And it could work.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, they are doing it way more extreme.
It could work, but it could be a total like mess too, I think.
Yeah.
They are going to score some runs.
So wait, that's going to bring us I lost the page. What division are we going through next?
So, all right, so let's move to the Central. Let's skip over the NL East. Right, we'll talk about the NL East.
Perfect, because I have a story in Spring Training News. Cespedes. I can't even say it right.
Yoenis just
had a grand slam for his Detroit Tigers.
You think they're going to win the Central?
Man, they are a stacked team, but I don't know about their pitching either.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like they're the best team on paper, but like, what if?
Yeah.
What if Victor Martinez is too old and Verlander really is done?
Right.
And Miggy turns into like the weight catches up to him or something. So they're like the leader, but they're kind of volatile, right? They could fall off. Do you think Kansas City is going to be good this year?
They were good last year, so
They made it to the World Series. They were
pretty good. They had won almost 90 games.
Speaking of Kansas City, they did.
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I think the White Sox will replace them in that at that second spot.
So the White Sox, they got Chris Sale and then they got Samardzija, right? So and Quintana, they
and
got
the best first baseman in baseball,
Adam LaRoche.
That's right. I'm rooting for him this year.
It's where Nat's first baseman go to die. First Dunn, then LaRoche.
Yeah, that's where they go. He's going to DH, right? He's going to be nasty.
Yeah, I think he is going to DH.
Wow.
Yeah, I like them. You know who else I like? Actually, better
Cleveland.
Than
Cleveland.
I like Cleveland.
You love Cleveland.
So I assume Jason Kipnis and Carlos Santana will both hit this year.
Yes.
They have three really young but really good starters.
Yes, very true.
So, like, if those guys pan out, kind of like what happened for a good part of the season with the Brewers last year, mm-hmm. Brewers fell off at the end, but their young pitching looked good in the first half. It could happen. And if you're one of those people that think the O's are good because of Buck, then why can't you believe me that the Indians can be good because of Francona, right?
I love Francona. I think they won 85 games last year.
Yeah, with a crappy Jason Kipnis and a crappy Carlos Santana, right?
Yeah, and then there's the Twins, and I think they're the worst team in that.
The Twins are
awful.
Are bad. They're going to be better than last year, I think, but they're still going to suck.
Playing outdoors. Who came up with that gimmick?
What a terrible idea. May they never make the World Series as punishment for building an outdoor stadium in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So what about the NL Central?
Oh, we're going there. We're not going to just go to the do we do NL East? I guess we did. Cause
no, I want to – we'll talk about the NL East plenty.
Okay. What about – wait, we didn't do the West, AL West.
Oh, you want to go AL first? All right, let's talk about
finish out the AL. Obviously, I think the Angels are amazing on paper, and I think they're definitely going to win.
Their pitching is not that impressive, though. I mean, really? Jared Weaver's great, but, like – but the rest of the team's good. I heard somebody say the other day, which I don't disagree with, that they may actually be better with Josh Hamilton out for all, you know, putting aside all the personal issues on it. Like, they may actually be better with him not playing.
Hmm.
But their hitting's going to be good. Yeah. I don't know. I like them. I could see Seattle actually being like – I could see Seattle being incredible.
That's true. I could see that.
Cano and then Kyle Seager and Nelson Cruz. And then you have King Felix and Iwakuma.
Iwakuma, so, I love him. Hitoshi.
You love all Japanese
people. I do. I told my wife when we ever go to Japan that one of the things I want to do is go to a wrestling match and a Major League Baseball game.
Yomi Uri Giants game?
No, it doesn't even have to be them. I could go to some like hipster team that they have.
The Hiroshima Carp?
Yeah, something like that.
The what's the team that like the...
And I'll wear a retro Nomo jersey.
Because you haven't,
maybe.
Amazing. What is the name of that team? There's one team. Oh, I'm gonna have to look it
up.
But
so
anyway,
many ridiculous names. Yeah, but then we also have Oakland, who I want to talk about. Everyone's favorite fantasy future sleeper, Marcus Semien, who probably wouldn't even make the team.
Oh yeah,
he had 2 home runs and 7 RBIs in 2 games so far.
Yeah, he's so, I mean, it's
so
whatever.
This is what I wanted to ask you about. This is that, is it fair that when we have the spring training with baseball, it's a game where you really have to get into a feel and a rhythm and a rotation, and that you're playing these fast games, you're getting limited time, and you just have to hope you do something amazing in that
so
limited time.
Here's what I've heard people say, which I think is pretty good. By the way, the theme I was thinking of was the Nippon Ham Fighters.
There you go.
They're not the ham. They don't fight ham. They're sponsored by a company that makes ham called Nippon Ham.
Yeah.
So the thing about spring training is it serves its purpose to make sure people aren't injured.
Right.
And to get people back in the swing of things. But if you are making your personnel decisions based on spring training performance, for the most part, you are probably doing it wrong.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so a guy like Semien, if they think he might be ready and he looks good in spring training, they might keep him up. But if they're like, this guy's not ready and he needs more at-bats, unless he hits like 400 in spring training, they're probably going to be like, yeah, okay, go down and do it in AAA for a month and then we'll bring you up if you do it for a month.
Okay.
No, I don't think it's that tough. I think it's actually, it's almost the other way to what you're suggesting. It's almost like,
Here's another example. On the same team, Josh Reddick, who is obviously going to start for them this year, right? Correct?
Yeah.
He went 2-for-3 and had like a whole bunch of RBIs in that game today and looked great.
Yeah, but it's
so
one game.
Do I look at any of these stats and think of anything? That's what I'm trying to say.
I think – so we talk about stats a lot, and we look at stats a lot. I think spring is a time where you really need your guys – who understand scouting to really tell you how a guy looks when
he's there.
No, how a guy looks while they're there.
Okay, while
like,
they're there.
A guy could hit 300 and they're like, man, he is hitting 300, but it's against all these guys that are never going to actually be on the MLB roster and against anybody that has a sniff of Major League Baseball experience, they're 0-for-15. You know, like what I'm seeing is he's not catching up to a good right-handed fastball, or he's getting fooled by – that's where you need your scouts, right?
Right.
To tell you if somebody – because for the most part, these teams have their lineups relatively worked out anyway, and it's really about getting work in and making sure somebody doesn't have anything wrong with them.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, it's a great story, and somebody will hit 15 home runs in spring training and earn a job, and maybe they deserve it.
I think
that's the exception.
Right.
So that's how I feel about that.
All right. So let's go National League Central.
Wait. So
oh,
do you think Texas is going to be any good?
No, terrible. I love their pitcher, obviously, Japanese. But
Darvish and or Detweiler.
I just don't think they're – I mean, if Elvis Andrus comes and has an incredible year and shows he's a superstar, then, yeah, maybe we could have a different conversation. But I haven't seen that from him.
Yeah. I like the lineup. With
the lineup's
like
great. Yeah.
Fielder and Odor and Chu, but I don't like it enough. You know?
It doesn't seem like it meshes well. I don't know how to say that. It's like
yeah.
they have all these guys that fit, they think, in the right spot, do they fit well together?
Yeah.
I don't know. And Houston, I love them, but they'll never be.
So are you picking – are you thinking L.A. will win that, or are you thinking
oh, yeah.
Seattle?
No,
I think
L.A.
Seattle.
I don't know, might man. Be. The best player in baseball is on the Angels.
The second best player in baseball is on Seattle.
That is true. That is true.
Possibly.
So, yeah, that's a great division, though, because you have the Angels and the Athletics and the Mariners. And if the Texas, like you say, if Texas is good, I mean, that's an incredible division.
Yeah, everybody except the Astros.
Yeah. All right, NL Central. I want the Pirates this year.
You are all in on the Pirates?
Yeah, I'm all in on the Pirates.
All I can say is picking up a Yankees catcher, the ex-Yankees catcher in Francisco Cervelli, is not going to work as well as it did with Russell Martin.
Damn.
The guy is not a starter.
That's true. Russell Martin was a huge part of their success.
I don't know. You know, St. Louis is good, but I don't think they're as good as they were. I think they'll probably be winning it or close to winning it at the end of the year, but it's going to be tight.
Brewers.
I think the Brewers will be in it for most of the year, but I just aren't good enough.
They're just like a mediocre team, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to finish somewhere, give or take, around like 500. But, you know, they'll be like have a fighting chance all year, so maybe they'll win like 83 or 84 games. But
right. Then we have the Reds, who you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, like I like the pieces.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think they're going to be good.
And then the Chicago Cubs, who in 2015 were predicted by Back to the Future 2 to win the World Series.
I don't think they're going to win the World Series. I don't think they're going to be as good as people seem to think they are, but they're not going to stink. And you know what's going to be really interesting?
What?
Like, I feel like I know prospects, but Chris Bryant is projected – by Pecota, you know, baseball prospectus is like prediction thing, to lead the team in wins above replacement.
Really?
With only 394 plate appearances. I looked this up. So he's probably not going to come up until May because they want to not get that, like, you know, the weird,
yeah,
like,
the contract
status
thing.
And all
right.
that.
Right.
Pecota seems to be acknowledging that he's only going to play 2/3 of the season, and they still think he will lead the team in value. That's how good he's supposed to be. So I'm kind of excited about seeing him play.
All right. So May, we look for him.
But I guess I'm still picking St. Louis.
And I'll go with the Pirates. And the NL West, I want to go with the San Diego Padres for the new lineup.
They're going to be a weird team, right? So first of all, I think we both agree that Colorado and Arizona are both going to be terrible.
Terrible. It's so sad because Paul Goldschmidt is so ridiculously good.
He's so good. And
he's so good.
So bad.
Yeah.
So you have the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres
right.
left.
Right.
And
the Giants are always good, so I feel like they're either going to win
the
division.
The Giants aren't always good. Like, even the years they win the World Series, they don't hit, like, 90 wins.
That's true. They only had 88 this year, or last year.
I wonder if, like, so Bumgarner was great.
So good.
But I don't know how that's going to translate to over the course of the season.
Right.
Because he pitched a lot of innings. Kane was bad, right?
Real and bad.
And hurt.
They have a great bullpen, though. I mean, Sergio Romo and
Peavy's like 34, 35. Hudson's like 40. Like, they could blow up. Like, I could see San Francisco being just as good as they were last year, winning close to 90 games and knocking out the playoffs. But, like, I could see them, like, really blowing up, too.
Right.
More so than some other teams. But I think San Diego's exciting, like you said. Like, they could definitely finish above the Giants. Like, they're going to be a weird team. Their outfield defense is going to be awful, but their outfield hitting is going to be their outfield defense is going to be so bad. They don't have a center fielder.
No.
Like, Matt Kemp played center field poorly 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm exaggerating.
Is he really going to play center field for them? That doesn't make any sense.
I have no idea who's going to play center field for them. They let me see. Let me look up. So Derek Norris is their catcher. Bad defensive catcher, but a guy that's going to have like a...
Derek Norris, former Net. What are
former
you talking
Nat,
about?
Former A. Yonder Alonso is a
starter. No, their center fielder's nasty. What are you talking about?
Will Myers?
The guy who was so hype in Tampa
Bay.
Not
a center fielder, though.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Can hit. Like, their outfield is Upton, who's a bad left fielder. Kemp, who's a bad fielder, who's going to play right. And Myers, who's, like, I don't know if he's bad, but he's not a center fielder. Like, are they going to take these guys out and put, like, Will Venable in to play, like, center field late inning?
I mean, he's the backup.
And then they have, but they have Upton, Myers, and Kemp. Like, that's an amazing outfield. If I was a Padres fan, I'd be so excited about
so
that
excited.
Outfield.
So excited.
And then they have,
and they have James Shields now.
They have the AL East third base derelicts. They have Yenjirvis Solarte, who is on the Yankees, and Will Middlebrooks, who is on the Red Sox.
And former Rocky Klimp arms.
Yes, they do. And then they have Jed Jorko or whatever, who can hit. But I don't think he's a good defensive second baseman either.
No, he's not. He's a better hitter.
So, like, their entire outfield and Derek Norris and Jed Jorko are all bad fielders. Yeah. Like, and they play in a pitcher's park. So
right.
How's that going to work? I don't know. I'm kind of excited. Like, I just re-upped on MLB, TV, and I may turn into, like, at 10 o'clock, I may turn on the Padres games for the first
time. Well, is this the last season for Vince Scully? Or is that last season?
No, he's still there, right?
I think he's only doing, like, 40 games maybe or something weird like that.
Well, I watch Dodgers games.
Right.
Because of Vin, but we haven't gotten to the Dodgers. The Dodgers are projected by Pecota to have 97 wins this
year.
The next best team is the Nats at 91 in all of baseball. So that's got to be like they're the best team money can buy.
Yes, I agree.
But, I mean, do you think they're just going to walk away with the West?
I really think if they can put it all together – and they have pitchers that, I mean, their starting five is not bad.
Well, they're really starting, like they're, yeah, because they have Kershaw and Greinke, who are awesome and awesome. And right. Then they have Hyunjin Ryu, who's been great.
He's been great.
And then they have Brandon McCarthy, who was very good before he got hurt.
Right.
And if he comes back to any semblance of his old self, they have a great four. And then they have, like, Brett Anderson and Eric Bedard and Brandon Beachy floating around. So they have other guys to, but then they also have Kenley Jansen, who's a great closer.
That's true. Incredible.
So, yeah, I mean, let's look at their lineup and wonder. Yeah, that's a good lineup. So, Yasmani Grandal is a great catcher, great hitting catcher.
Great hitting catcher.
They have Agon, who is, I guess, you know, he's getting older. He's not the player he used to be, but he's still a good, good player. Adrian Gonzalez. They have Kendrick at second now.
Oh,
Jimmy Rollins
that's right.
At short. Jimmy Rollins Jimmy is Rollins. Still – yeah, his numbers don't look as good as they used to, but he's still a really good shortstop
he
overall.
Is. I agree.
Then they have Crawford and Puig and Ethier and Peterson in the outfield, this guy Jock Peterson.
And they just hope Crawford is healthy. That's all they hope.
And Juan Uribe still plays and is still alive.
Oh, my God.
How old is Juan Uribe?
No, it's like his son, I think, now.
No, it is.
Wasn't he on the Nats?
It is Juan Uribe. Oh, he's actually a year younger than us. He's 35. He is Jason Worth and Adam LaRoche's age.
Right.
So maybe he's not as old as...
And Yasiel Puig.
He's got the Puig.
He's got the Puig. He's on the cover of MLB 2015.
The show?
The show.
Is
this guy Pedersen?
Jock Pedersen.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Jewish.
I'm into him.
he
had 28 at bats last year.
I don't know too much about him, to be honest, but I don't think he was considered like a superstar prospect.
Right.
But I think they really like him, and I think he did really well.
The last rookie to play center field for the Dodgers is? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Raul?
Raul Abanez?
No, M.
Mondesi?
Yes.
All I remember about Raul Mondesi is he had an arm that would make Ichiro jealous.
He was so amazing. How do you also, I forgot to ask you how you felt about the new hire for the life coach that the Nats have now?
You know, I think it's. I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't know what he does. I hope he helps them.
I don't really understand the position, But Rick Ankiel is now a Nats employee, and he's a, I guess I would say, a life coach.
I hope he teaches everybody how to throw, because he had the most amazing outfield arm I've ever seen.
He did.
I don't know. Do you want to touch on the NL East, or are we going to talk about that enough later?
We'll talk about it enough, like you said.
I mean,
we're going to say Nats, and then who's your number two?
All right, let's just talk about it for a minute, because Phillies are going to be the worst team in baseball, right?
Yes.
Like, worse than the Twins. I think the Phillies are legitimately, like, easily the worst team in baseball.
Right. How about the Mets?
Well, I want to go to Atlanta, because I think Atlanta is going to be, like, bottom five.
I agree with you, too. Their number one is Tehran, and then after that, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's like an old, like, Marlins thing, where you're like, I haven't heard of four of their starting five pitchers. So it's really between the Mets and the Marlins, right?
Right. And the Marlins have Ichiro.
I don't buy the Mets. Okay, like, so I'll start with the Marlins. The Marlins got a lot of guys this offseason, and they got a lot of guys you've heard of.
Right.
But none of them are going to be great.
And they're going to be
probably
injured.
Like league average or a little bit worse. So that's a team that if everything goes right, they could be good and make the playoffs. But most of the time, everything doesn't go right. And I don't think they're that good. Like, Mike Morse, I love Mike Morse. He was great here, but, like, he's a good player, not a great player. And they got a lot of guys like that.
Right.
Like, D. Gordon is a good player, not a great player. And so when they got all these guys, everybody's making a big deal, but it's like they're replacing garbage with, like, league average players.
Right. Granted, they have the best, in my opinion, the best single hitter in the game.
Yes, they have Mike Stanton.
He's taking over for Pujols, in
my opinion. Maybe if I felt. Maybe I'd feel differently if Jose Fernandez wasn't coming back at the earliest, like the end of June or July. Like, if he was here all year, I might fear them a little bit more.
Right. But I think with the Mets, though, we're going to basically almost go 50-50 in all the games we play against them this year. That's what always happens. It doesn't seem like we can ever just win a series constantly.
I think most predictions machines will say that the Mets are going to be the number two team.
Right. That's what I think.
I don't buy the Mets this year.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. I think people are excited because the future looks so bleak for the Mets.
Right.
Because of all the Wilpon stuff. And then they turned around and churned out like a really interesting looking young pitching staff.
Right.
And they have Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler and Jacob DeGrom. And you're like, wow. They could be really good. But these guys are all young, and, like, Harvey's going to be back in his first year back from Tommy John. So even if he's lights out, they're going to limit his innings. When he pitches opening day or whatever, that will be his first major league action since he had Tommy John surgery. So, like, Harvey's probably going to be very good, but he'll tire towards the end of the season, and he will probably be out by September. John Neese isn't that good. Bartolo Colon is, like, 400. Bartolo Colon was a great story last year because he was serviceable, but he was not a league average pitcher.
No.
He was less than that.
Right.
Wheeler and DeGrom are going to be good. I'm just not sure they're both going to be good yet.
I think you're going to see a lot of what's his name?
Dylan G. Yeah, he's there too.
He's serviceable.
Too. He's another, like, I don't know. I think they're going to be good sooner than we thought a couple years ago, but, like, you know, Darnold is a good catcher, and, like, Duda is
He's all right. He's all right. For a National League first baseman, he's
okay.
He's pretty good.
Daniel Murphy's
He's probably in the top five second basemans on National League.
He was in terms of, like, fantasy numbers last year. He's a bad fielder, and I think if he has any drop-off, and he didn't hit with much power, he's not going to be very good.
Is that Jesus Flores' brother?
Daniel Murphy? I don't think
so. No, shortstop.
Wilmer Flores? No. And Wilmer Flores was a terrible hitter last year.
Right.
Curtis Granderson, you never know what he's going to be.
So old.
And, like, Curtis Granderson, Juan Lagares is a good center fielder.
Yes.
And that's good. He's a very good center fielder.
Very good. And the right fielder I like a lot.
He can't hit at all, but he has to be a good center fielder because Granderson's okay, I guess, in left field. Kadire is going to be a mess in right.
You think? I thought he would be good there, no?
He's a first baseman now, let alone like in a big park. Like, I don't know. I think he might hit.
Yeah, he definitely will hit.
But I don't. He was incredibly. His numbers were incredibly affected by Coors Field.
Yep, incredibly.
I think he's going to look awful in right field there, but he'll hit. But yeah, I mean, they might get second place. I think the second place will be between them and the Marlins, just like everybody else thinks. Maybe I'm just being like a Nats homer. I'm not buying either of those teams yet. And right. People are like, oh, they're going to compete against the Nats and this and that. And like, maybe they will, but it's got to be a lot of things going right for them. So,
right.
And that's certainly possible, but that's a scenario that's not, you know, likely. Let's just say
that. All you got to do, in my opinion, you just get the early lead on the Nats and you always win. I hate it when they score first and then it makes our pitchers get down on themselves.
Oh,
I don't like it.
Some people responded to my query about Gio by saying that if he wasn't so mopey, he would be the number four pitcher.
And really?
I'm like, what does that have to do with how good he is? Like,
right.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, my light turned off.
I guess so much for us not talking about the NL East.
Yeah, I guess we talked about it. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. As always, you can go to thenationalsreview.com and read all the stories posted there. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Culmination.
I'm at Nationals Review, and I will be at spring training on the 12th. So if you're there and you want to say hi, tweet at me, let me know, and I'll come say hi.
You'll take a selfie with them?
I'll take a selfie. Me and them and Jerry Blevins. We'll find him. Or somebody that seems friendly and would want to take a selfie with
us.
There
you go. Also remember on the site we have the Nationals Park Beer Guide, so you might want to download that to your mobile device for when you go to Nats Park this year.
That's the other thing that takes a long time for me to do, Cole, because I actually walk around the entire park.
So that will be – you're saying this will be updated in 2015?
Of course.
Of course. That's you heard first, this here.
The first home game I go to, which I'm
go in the first – like. Oh, definitely the first month, but definitely the first 2 weeks.
You know, I'm not a big opening day guy.
No, either am I.
It's cold, and I like my couch. I love going to baseball games. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to.
But I don't like being cold, so.
But I don't like being cold unless it's for the playoffs, and it's always the most, like, one of the most crowded games of the year. Tough to get in and out, and I'm just like, why don't I just go to game 3 or 4?
Right.
I can watch game 1 at home on TV.
Yeah.
Like I do most games, right?
Right. So. And also we have a gear button if you want to get any of the lovely shirts that we've tweeted out. iPhone cases.
We got to come up with some new ones.
We'll have to come up with definitely for new shirts for 2015.
Maybe a Max Scherzer team shirt.
We need a Max Scherzer. We need to get that jersey. I think the Buffalo one though has some pull this year.
The Buffalo, yeah. Just a picture of a Buffalo with Wilson Ramos's face on it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something we need to push. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Remember, we're on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. You can even write us a review, or you can leave a comment on the site, or let us know via Twitter. We will see you at the park.
See you at the park. Yeah.
Soulmates never die.